Let me pray. Let me pray for us. If you could pray for me as I'm praying, I have a lot to say, and I want to be respectful to the 30 minutes or so that we have committed to preaching, okay? So let me pray for us. Lord God, these are your words, God. We pray that your word would come. We pray for the empowering of the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus Christ, that we would decrease, that you would increase, and all of our lives, God, would be surrendered and given to the praise and worship of your name, God. So would you help us today? Would you help me preach your word effectively and faithfully, God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in the book of Ephesians. We're right at the halfway mark, okay? It's six chapters. It's a letter written from Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, which is an early church. It's a young church. It's new believers. And just as a reminder, 3 weeks ago, okay? 3 weeks ago, we were reading about Jews and Gentiles, just as a refresher, Jews and Gentiles, and the mystery of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and how the Gentiles were being, the nations, the Gentiles, were being brought into the family of God through Jesus Christ. And I made this statement 3 weeks ago. I said, the body of Christ, the local church, is by God's design intentionally diverse. Intentionally. It's not an accident. God, in his sovereign, perfect power, in his perfect plans, intentionally, the church is intentionally diverse by design to prove the unifying power of Christ's blood. That it has power. It has supernatural power. Okay? So that's the context. And then let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. This is the word of God. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, okay, so Paul is urging the church to walk, to live life in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Okay, so let's pause there. So that's what Paul is addressing. And then he adds a couple more verses after that to make sure people understand, that we understand, how that is to be done. Okay? So that's the what. Walk in a manner worthy, right? You've been bought by Christ. You have a new heart. You're a new believer. You're in Christ. You have all the benefits of being in Christ. That's the what. Now this is the how. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay. When you become a Christian, when God rushes upon you and you commit your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, amazing. God doesn't leave you helpless. Okay? He does not leave you helpless. You gain supernatural power to move from the natural to the supernatural. Okay? So let me give you an example. I heard the youth recently watched the movie Spider-Man. All right? I think you did. And before Spider-Man was bit by a radioactive spider, he was just Peter Parker, okay? Or Tom Holland. He was just Peter Parker, just a boy, just you know, just He's a normal guy, just like you and I. But after he gets bit, he wakes up and he has supernatural power. He has supernatural strength. Right? He has supernatural senses. We call it spider senses, right? He has supernatural senses. He has supernatural agility. Amazing, amazing, right? I love Spider-Man. I love superheroes, okay? But what if Spider-Man, with these newfound powers, spent all of his days sitting in front of the couch watching TV, right? Or using his powers to serve himself, right? He uses his web to so he doesn't have to get off the couch, just grab a drink, boom, and, right? Right? Or he's just home playing video games or whatever, right? He's just wasting away. I think we would say, what a waste. What a waste of power. It's almost irresponsible, I think. I think you would say it's almost irresponsible. You have such great power, right? I'm not going to say the line, with great power comes great responsibility. No. So, amazing. He has amazing power, and thus there is a responsibility that comes with that power. Okay? It demands the use and service of those powers for New York City, I think is where Spider-Man is. Okay? As a child of God, you have access to the throne room of God. Okay? You have the best news ever in eternity. It solves every problem that the government cannot fix, policy cannot fix, right? The sin problem. Jesus Christ is the best news ever. You have access to that. You have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit is in you. We have a responsibility. We have superpowers. Now, we don't feel like we have superpowers, right? Oh, that flesh, right? But there's a war. But we have superpowers to be used to the glory of God, right? So, I want to coin a phrase here. Your primary responsibility, according to Ephesians 4, is love as worship. Okay, let me break that. Love, so God gives you supernatural power and strength, empowered by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your heart, your new heart. You can love supernaturally. You can love God with great intimacy. You can know Him. You can love others, right? With great supernatural power, right? And all of that is worship. It is unto the glory of Jesus Christ. You see that? So it's not love for the sake of love. It's not love so that you can feel good about how loving you are. It's not love so that you can feel like you're improving yourself. It's not a self-improvement plan, right? It is love unto the glory of Jesus Christ. Because when you love like that, when you love God and you love others sacrificially and hospitably and with the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive and to have mercy, like the world doesn't have that stuff. And when you do that, it's not about you. It's about your appointer now to the glory of Jesus, because He's like that. And He bestows onto us great power. Love as worship to God. Okay? We're not here to make much of ourselves and how loving of a church we are or how loving of a people we are. That's not our goal here. Our goal for love is to ascribe worth to Jesus Christ and His love.
all the energy, all the service, all the, we're just, I said it earlier, we're just instruments in the eternal chorus and symphony of worship to Jesus Christ. So when you love in the small ways that we God calls us to love, He empowers us, like Spider-Man, with great responsibility to move out onto the glory of Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It's all about Him. So John chapter 13 says this, and I think most of you know this verse. A new commandment I give to you. This is Jesus talking to His disciples. That you love one another. Disciples, love one another. Just as Jesus has loved them. You also are to love one another. By this. So by this radical, holy, set apart, uncommon love, all people, the world, will know that you are my disciples. Amazing. Right? Amazing. But it's difficult. It's all, not all butterflies and roses. Right? We need power. But make no mistake. That is one of the primary responsibilities that we have as Christians. Okay? Just like Spider-Man, we have responsibilities so that Jesus Christ would get the glory. Let me give you three examples. I want to show you in the text three examples. One of them is Ephesians, then I have two others. I just want to show you that this is a common theme in Scripture, that when you become a believer, you have great power and responsibility to love. Okay, so let me read Ephesians again, Ephesians 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You've been called to these great superpowers in Christ. With all humility. So that's the what. But how? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you see the connection with the what happened? And then the how you go out and do that. Do you see that? Like, that this calling that you have been given necessitates that you move out in love. Okay? Let me show you another way. Another verse. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Right? It's pretty much saying the same thing. New creation. You're a superhero with superpowers, right? That radioactive spider bit you. Call the Holy Spirit. He got you, right? He got you and you're new. Okay? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This new life has come. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and what? Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you see the connection? The new life in Christ with those amazing superpowers necessitates the ministry of reconciliation. You are hands and feet of Jesus Christ going out and doing what He does. He loves. He reconciles. He brings two things that ought not to be together and He makes them one. The ministry of reconciliation. That's your job in the new creation. Okay, Colossians 3, 5 through 13. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Don't live that old life. You're not Peter Parker anymore, right? You're new. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your own mouth. That's not you anymore. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. He moves into the territory of love. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. Love as worship unto Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. That is the call. I don't know if you knew that when you became a Christian, but that's the call. That's the call. And God does not leave us helpless. The Holy Spirit is of great help. The Word of God comes and is our bread to empower us to move out in the supernatural. Okay. So here's that. That's all lead in, actually. So here's the main point for today. Okay, one point. Okay, the primary love as worship superhero move. Okay. You need to learn is humility. Loving one another is dying like Christ. Okay. Let me show that to you in the text. Ephesians 4. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is your call. Christ got you. The Holy Spirit got you. All right? You're being called now. With great power comes great responsibility. Right? Says Uncle Ben. All right? With all humility. And we can just stop there. Because it's hard to get past that one word. That's the first word that Paul uses to describe the new life. Humility. Right, so I was debating whether to tell this story, all right, because I don't want to encourage the wrong thing, all right? So I'm just prefacing, right? You got to be careful, all right? So when I was, it's kind of funny. When I was in 9th grade, 10th grade, and I was not a Christian, and just not a great kid. I mean, you know, not a kid that you would want your kids to hang out with in 9th or 10th grade, okay? Just, and some of you know, okay? And this is just hilarious, right? Like, you know, we would get into fights, right? Like, just think about these, like, scrawny 14, 15-year-old kids, right? Who think they're all tough in, like, Northern Virginia, right? The streets of Northern Virginia. And, you know, we get into fights occasionally, right? And I remember, you know, my group of friends, we'd get together, and we'd try to, like, learn some moves, you know? You know what I'm saying? It's like, scrawny, you know, 120-pound kids. Like, you're trying to learn some moves, right? And, like, it's like the blind leading the blind, right? We didn't really know what we were doing. And so, for example, like, you know, like, if someone gets you in a headlock, right, there's, like, moves, right? You gotta, like, you know, stamp on their feet, take out their knee, you know, whatever, right? Not that I ever used it, right? But, you know, like, I mean, we actually would, this is really bad, we would get, like, boxing gloves, right? And then we'd go outside and we'd, like, try to fight. You know, I got knocked out a couple times. So, you know, it's just, it's funny, right? But you had to learn some moves. You had to learn some moves, all right? So, for instance, okay, this is, like, the main example. By the way, I am not a fighter. So, just, you know, these are just what my friends were telling me, okay? So, you know, for instance, if someone is, like, coming at you, like, swinging, right, your instinct, I think, is to, like, move back and evade, right? That's your instinct. That's your fleshly instinct for all of us, I think. Because you want to move, right? But actually, it's not very effective. So there's a move, okay? I don't know what the move is called, but there's a move where you can kind of, like, as soon as they start swinging, you go in, actually, okay? You go in. It's like a surprise attack, right? Because they don't expect that. And so you move in, and it's counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive, right? So you don't just move back. You move in right away, right? And then, you know, I don't know what you do when you're in, but you do some stuff, right? Maybe. Okay. I never used the move, right? The move was probably used on me a couple times, but you know, it goes against the tendencies, right? When you're in that situation, so I didn't include this, but Ephesians ends in chapter 6 with the very popular famous verses of spiritual warfare. And I think the reason it's at the end of the book is because he's saying all of Christian life is spiritual warfare. The enemy's main attack, point of attack, is on your relationships. Okay? And you got to learn some moves. All right? You're a superhero now. All right? You got to learn some moves for the glory of God. Okay? I was afraid to tell the story because I don't want like Evan and Tyler getting into fights at school saying, oh, my pastor was preaching a sermon about how to fight, you know? I was like, I'm pretty sure that move's not going to work for you anyways. But, you know, like, but you got to learn moves. And you got to learn moves that are counterintuitive. Okay? So when you're in relationships, okay, when you're in marriage, Ephesians talks about marriage. When you're in family, okay, parents and children, Ephesians talks about that. When you're in the church, okay, and you're trying to love one another, all right? When you're in the world, in your workplace, Ephesians talks about that, right? There's warfare going on, and as a newfound superhero in Christ, you got to learn some moves, okay? And when people are coming at you, or when things are getting tense, right, when people come out swinging, your flesh, the intuition is to move away, okay? And you got to move in. You got to counter the flesh. You got to move in, not with the right hook, but with love and humility. The first move you got to learn is humility. I think that's what Paul's getting at. Walk in a manner worthy to which you have been called with all humility. That frames everything else. Patience, gentleness, bearing with one another. It starts with humility. Okay? So just to clarify, I'm not promoting, you know, Northern Virginia street fighting in the public school system, okay? Just as an example, okay? And here's the thing. We perfect that move because Christ perfected that move. If there's anything about the love of Christ, it is very humble. Can you believe that? Can you believe that the God of heaven and earth humbled himself for you and me? He perfected that move, right? We're learning from the best, okay? He perfected the move of humility. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 7. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he says, look at how your Lord Jesus Christ did this. Have this mind, verse 5, have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. You know what that means? Is that Jesus Christ, he is God. He is spirit, he is eternal, he is holy, he is divine. Okay? And basically, it's what that word means, that phrase means, is that, but he did not seize that opportunity and just stay there. Okay? Verse 7, but instead, he emptied himself, taking the form of the person that he was moving towards, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Do you see that? You see what I'm saying? So we have this, we have this intuitive way that the flesh flares up, right, amidst relationships and conflict and difficulty. And there's this supernatural move that Christ pulled. He perfected. And he's calling us to follow that move. Very counterintuitive to move towards. Okay? Christ, it says he emptied himself. He didn't have to do that. He emptied himself. Being born in the likeness of man. You know, part of humility that I think we all need to learn, you know, myself included. A lot of times we want people to meet us where we are. And it's hard. You got to die to meet people where they are. You know what I'm saying? Like it's much more convenient if people would just kind of meet me where I'm at. But I got to learn the move to move towards, to empty myself, to empty my agenda, to talk less, to listen more, to have sympathy and empathy, right? And empty myself of my agenda, my preconceived notions, my presumptions, and to move towards and just listen. That's what Christ did. He emptied himself. He became a man. Can you believe that? God, like, this is why the incarnation of Christ is very important doctrinally. Because God became a man so that he could understand you. He could understand your temptations. He could understand what it means to live in a broken body. So that our great high priest can sympathize with those that he loves. He moved towards us. And then he took the form of a servant. So he didn't come, you know, asking people to serve him, but he came and served. He washed our feet. And then he bore our sin. The enemy is going to come and continues to come. Like I said earlier, I think this is why Ephesians ends chapter 6 with the armor of God, spiritual warfare. The enemy is strategically planning, rampantly planning all day, every day, day and night on how to attack you and your relationships. Because if you don't love, then Christ is not worshiped. But when you are empowered to love radically, sacrificially, hospitably, with great mercy and forgiveness, he gets the glory. Okay? The enemy doesn't want that. So you gotta learn some moves. We gotta learn some moves. We gotta practice some moves. All right? So my question for you as we close is, who do you need to move towards today or tomorrow or this week? Okay? Don't come out swinging. That's not the right move. Right? Don't evade. That's natural. That's natural for me. You got to learn the move, right? You got to learn the move. You got to learn Christ's move of humility. Let's empty ourselves. Move towards, listen. Be humble. Serve people. Let's serve their needs. Let's understand them. Meet them where they're at. The primary love as worship superhero move you must learn is humility. Okay? That sets the tone for everything else we're going to read. Okay? When we talk about church and oneness in the body of Christ, you got to lead with humility. That's what Christ did. In marriage, okay, you got to lead with humility. It's tough. It's tough. It's dying. Okay? With your children. Talks about children in Ephesians. You got to lead with humility. All right. Sometimes I think we expect our children to meet us where we are. Can we meet them where they are? I don't do that a lot. I'm just going to be honest. I have adult expectations on my young children. Right? I want to move towards them, understand them. The world, too, talks about coworkers and bosses and even unjust bosses. Humility, that's the move. Right? That's what Christ did. All right, let's pray. And I'll invite John and the team to come up and just as we pray and as we respond and as we, I know that for us and for me, it's, we can grow weary. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with His love, to move out and follow Him. Let's, you know, another thing that Christ does in humility is He prays. He prays for people, He prays for His enemies, He prays for those who persecute Him. He intercedes and He cries out. On the cross, he cried out to God, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do." Okay? Let's, as we reflect and as God just brings to mind people that we need to move towards, maybe it's at work, maybe it's at home, all right? Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our own hearts. Let's pray for supernatural power. Let's pray that we would not move out in the natural, but that we'd move out with His wind behind our back for His glory. Love as worship. Love as praise and worship and glory to Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God would strengthen us to learn that move, how to submit and to die like our Lord. All right, let's pray.